Wow, love those testimonies this morning. And Ian, I love what you said, that song. What was the name of that song? I Can't Help Falling in Love with You. Yeah, wow. And that's how God feels about us. He can't help fall in love with you. You know, the old meaning of the word charis, which is translated grace, has something to do with the idea of beauty. And there's something so attractive about you that God so desires a relationship with you. He's crazy about every human being on the face of the earth because he made them all. And he so desires them. He so desires to have a relationship with his creation. He's crazy about them. He finds them beautiful because they're made in his image. Now, I believe the Lord gave me this theme of legalism. And I believe that legalism is really dangerous. But one of the reasons why legalism is so dangerous, not only to scriptures like Romans, Galatians, Colossians, Hebrews, talks about the dangers of legalism, is because it quenches the Spirit of God. Because God wants to move. He's in us. He's in his people. And I think the opposite to legalism is surrender. Jesus, what do you want to do today? What do you want to do today? So the idea of what I'm going to share about legalism is all about relationship with him. It's all about Jesus. What do you want to do today? Let's talk. And you can read that definition of legalism, but essentially at its core, legalism is a sense that there is a set of things I've got to do. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And I think at the core of legalism is where I decide in myself I've got to do that with my effort. You know, I've got to be loving, I've got to be kind. Do you know what I mean? But I think the opposite of legalism is reliance. I heard somebody say years ago, I think it was Watchman Nee, he said, whenever God wants something of you, he wants you to look to him to do it. Jesus, I need to be loving. Put birth that in me. Jesus, you want me to share this good news. Put that within me. Let me be led by the Spirit and not the flesh. Now I want to ask you a question. We all know that in Leviticus, God said to the people of Israel, you do these things. You're going to be my separate people. You're going to be holy. And you do these things. You eat these foods and only these foods. But in Acts, I think it's Acts 10, God says to Peter, he gives him a vision and said, you're free to eat it. And Peter's upset. God, I can't eat this. He's upset. So what's the difference? Why did God say here to the Jews, you can only eat these things and do these things? But under the new covenant, oh, I said the reason. What's the difference? Jesus, that's right. The cross is the difference. The people of Israel weren't perfect. Don't get me wrong, I love the people of Israel. I love the nation of Israel. But the people of Israel weren't perfect, and they weren't able to make themselves perfect. You know, scripture said, you know, Jesus said, you look to the scripture thinking you'll find eternal life, but the scripture speaks of me. Michael gave an example before of the scripture speaking of Jesus. The Old Testament is full of Jesus. The difference in under the new covenant is he makes us clean. His blood makes us clean. Because of what he did on the cross, that makes us righteous. Even when you're struggling, you're still the righteousness of God in Christ, and you're still under his favour. You know, the scripture says, come boldly through the throne of grace that you can find mercy and help in time of need. We're under the new covenant. We are washed in the blood. We are the righteousness of God all the time. So run to him. Jesus, I'm struggling with this. Run to him. The difference is the cross. You know, Paul said, I preach Christ and him crucified. And the reason I'm labouring this today is because when you're reliant on him, when you're surrendered on him, the miraculous happens. Because you're led by his Spirit. The miraculous power of God can be manifest because you're not relying on yourself, you're relying on him. You know, the Apostle Paul said, did we do all these miracles by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? And what does that mean, hearing with faith? I simply hear what the Holy Spirit is doing or saying or wanting to do, and I put it in my mouth. I speak out what the Holy Spirit is saying. One of the reasons why it's important to realise to run away from legalism is because legalism will actually stifle your ability to overcome sin and struggle in your life. In Romans 6:13, for sin shall not be your master or not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. See, Romans 6 talks about the law. It talks about sin and Jesus dealing with sin on the cross. Romans 7 is written to Christians and it talks about the need to realize that you're not under law. Because if you put yourself under the law as a Christian, you'll struggle with sin. So this verse, Romans 6:14, is a preamble to Romans 7. For the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in members to bear fruit. It's my efforts to reach God's standards. See, one of the keys to understanding Romans 7 is in my flesh, in my flesh. In other words, my efforts. He's saying, well, if I do that, you know, in my efforts. And he's saying, if I do it in my efforts, if I do it in my ability, I'll struggle. And actually sin will manifest itself. But if I live in a place of surrender, in my identity in him, then I can overcome those things I struggle with. We all know about 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. Yee-haw, that's great. But this is a really interesting verse. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Law, me having to reach God's standard, actually strengthens sin. We look to him. We look to his gift of righteousness. We look to a place of surrender. Lord, what am I struggling with? Show me where it's coming from. But we don't put these externals on ourselves saying, I must be, I can't do this, because you'll never beat it. The strength of sin is the law. And law brings a curse. Do you realise that? The Ten Commandments actually bring a curse. Because those people who relied on the law and couldn't do it were actually under a curse. I'm not going to read that scripture out for you. You can. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So all our failure to keep God's standards, Christ not only took our sin, but he took that curse. So we might be under the blessing of God all the time. He's purchased that for us. We're under the blessing of God all the time. Doesn't mean we're not going to have struggles. Doesn't mean people aren't going to hate us. Doesn't mean there's not going to be stuff in their life that needs to change and be brought to the cross. But he took the curse. He took our failure to live up to God's standard on himself, that we might be under the blessing of God. The law brings wrath. You're under the law, wrath. You're not under the law, grace. The law brings condemnation. I'll read this, actually. I think it's important. But the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, were glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. But with the ministry of the Spirit, not be more glorious, for it is written, for the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more. Under the new covenant, the ministry of righteousness. You see? No condemnation. No condemnation. You stand in the love of God all the time. I'm not excusing sin here. I'm not saying just go ahead. So shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But I'm just saying, when you struggle, when people struggle, I'm not under condemnation. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I've given it. It's like if I gave Jan, you know, when Jan got born again, she got given the gift of righteousness. It was a gift. She got adopted into God's family. Sorry for picking on you, Jan. That's right. So how come we're not under the law? See, Jesus not only took our sin, iniquity, and transgression, past, present, and future, but he also took the law of commandments which stood against us and declared us guilty. That's why these guys use the good person test. The purpose of the law is to show us we're sinful and to lead us to Christ. But Jesus took the law on himself when he died, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man, thus making peace, that through him might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross. He took the law. He took our failings. Colossians, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that stood against us, which was contrary to us. See, in Romans 3, it talks about, I'm going to stand here like a statue till it comes back to me. But in Romans 3, it talks about the whole world is accountable. But then we come to Christ. We come to Christ. And we come to his death, burial, and resurrection. And we say, thank you. And I love this. Having disarmed principalities and powers, having made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. One of the ways we do spiritual warfare is knowing that everything that Satan had against us, has been gone to the cross. It doesn't mean there's still not the process of transformation, the process of sanctification and salvation, the ongoing process of change, so that we walk more and more after the Spirit and not the flesh. But one of the ways we understand spiritual warfare is he took those things that stood against us. We call those things, in prayer ministry terms, legal rights. He took them on the cross, because we live in a legal universe. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to that which once held us, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not the oldness of the letter. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his rulership, surrender, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto him. I don't look to myself to reach the standard, I look to him. This is one of the most restful messages you can ever hear, because the acid's off. You know, his yoke is light and his burden is easy, because it's not relying on yourself to reach a standard. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. When a person tries to meet God's standards, he puts himself under a curse. Why? He is saying the cross is not good enough to make me clean and acceptable to God. So why is legalism so natural? Do we all know in Genesis, when Adam and Eve fell, and they were deceived. And once they were deceived, they tried to put on clothing to protect themselves. They had all these reactions. So then the eyes of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. They hid, they were afraid, they were naked, and they hid themselves. Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the serpent. And that's natural for humans. That's natural for me. Natural humans wants to try and atone for what I do, try and hide. It's just natural. It was natural before you got saved, and unfortunately, because we've still got the flesh, the sinful nature has gone, but we're still in the flesh, the soul and body. It's still natural. We want to hide. I love this in Exodus 19. And Exodus 19 is before Exodus 20. I learnt that at school, because 19 is before 20. Small bit of humour. Don't have to laugh too much. I'd love this underlined, but all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So this is what the children of Israel said to Moses. You tell us what God wants to do, we'll do it. What's wrong with that? They couldn't do it. There we are. Another reason why legalism is so natural is because none of us got perfect, unconditional love growing up. And one of the things we do when we don't get unconditional love is we try and meet our own needs. That's why legalism is so natural to us, because we want to fill up those gaps. And if I'm not getting it from the outside, I'll look any way I can to get it on the inside. I made this point before. When you got born again, you died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. I hope I quoted that correctly. Your sinful nature at the core got crucified with Christ. But we still have our flesh, and our flesh is simply our soul and body. We still have that battles us. And sometimes our flesh wants to head down the path of legalism. But we've got to recognize it. If legalism, this idea of trying to atone, you know, and trying to cover up, and trying to make ourselves acceptable, And so when the Holy Spirit shows you this, just surrender. Jesus, you can read that. Just surrender. Just say, Jesus, I'm struggling with this. I recognize I'm doing this. Lord, why is I'm doing this? What's going on? We still want to, sometimes in our flesh, we still want to cover our sins and weaknesses. We still go into a place of denial. We still blame others instead of surrendering it to Jesus. The second thing I mentioned is why legalism is so natural is unmet needs. And so I've just given a prayer and it's available afterwards. But we can surrender those unmet needs and say, Jesus, you know that my needs weren't met. And you know I've tried so hard to meet my own needs. And Lord, I need healing. And I love what John Kirwan said. If you don't, try and find somebody, and if they don't get it, find somebody else you can talk to about this and get healing and restoration. Work through your stuff so you don't be motivated by trying to get your own needs that weren't given met as a kid met. Get some healing, get some restoration. Yeah. And I'm just going to read this out. Father, I give you permission to bring your light to all legalism and self-effort in my soul and my body. If there's any particular generational legalism still affecting me, please show me. Help me to be aware of your leading and guiding so that I can walk in and by your Holy Spirit and not the flesh in Jesus' name. So relying on him. Being open about your struggles, getting help if you can't do it, but relying on him because he loves you. He's crazy about you. He's thinking about you all the time. He's desperate to have a relationship with you. And you know those people out there, he's desperate to have a relationship with them. And a little plug for Vicky's things. Last time I was at Vicky's thing, I just got the sense that on bended knees, we bring the good news to people. We bring the good news that he took their sin, iniquity, and transgression on the cross. We bring their good news that Jesus took their pain and sorrow on the cross. And we do it on bended knees. He took that. He took it all. The answer for every human need is Jesus and what he did on the cross. And I heard Rob Rufus say years ago that if we want to walk in the miraculous, we learn not to be legalistic, but we walk in a place of surrender and reliance on the Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do today. Okay? And be aware that he may speak to you, that he may talk to you. And let's just be open to what he wants to say. I don't know what he wants to do, but let's be open. So, Father, we surrender our hearts and we say, Jesus, what do you want to do? Lord, we can't do it in ourselves, but we can when you are leading and guiding us. So, Father, I just pray to speak to my brothers and sisters and even the children out there. And, Father, we ask for the manifestation of your Spirit. Lord, what do you want to do? And we wait in Jesus' name. And if you get any words or any feelings, just speak. Put up your hand and bring you the microphone. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Remember, he loves you. He wants to speak to you. Let him speak to you.
not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, it's by his Spirit. Minister to your love. Minister your peace and your grace. Still every heart, Father, in Jesus' name. Meet every need according to your riches and glory.
It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing.
Right.
You have been told to choose your life.
If there's ever been a situation where you haven't chosen life, just repent. Just say, Jesus, there's situations where I chose death, where I didn't want this life. Just repent. Say, Jesus, I stuffed up. I repent. Wash me with your blood. I choose life.
Lord, lift the glandular fever out of Tina. She just needs your help so much. Amen.
Amen. We agree with that, Lord. Lift that. I just pray for Tina, and I pray for everybody here, every human body here that's suffering pain, disease, weakness, Father. Jesus, you took it on the cross, and we declare your life. We speak life into these people. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Anything else? Anybody getting anything else?
They are the flesh.
The Apostle Paul said, don't get led away from simplicity of devotion to Christ. What's that song? It's all about him.
It's, I feel the Lord saying, you may be having trouble with your thought life, but it's a thought and it's not an action. And he wants you to overcome by the blood of the Lamb that you, your mind can be cleansed from those thoughts.
That's right. And if Jesus needs to reveal the source of those thoughts, he will. Thank you, Lord. Anything else? Come on, Holy Spirit. Well, bless you. I hope that makes sense. And oh, what, Father, I just thank you for these good people. Father, I thank you that you love them dearly. And I pray in the coming weeks there'd be more and more of the outpouring of your Spirit in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.